Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here at the Damage Report. Not just any episode, though. Today is a Friday, which means we're going to throw away some garbage. We're also going to welcome back 2 weeks running. This thing's becoming almost like a pattern. Brett Ehrlich. How's it going, Brett?
You know, it's fine. That's it.
I thought you were like building up to something there.
I thought I had another thought, but I did not have another thought. Yeah. And unfortunately, the last sound I made implied there was more.
Yeah,
all of that was baked in there. And then I ran out of things to say.
You know, and as we're launching this, you know what? Friday shows are supposed to be a mess. As we're launching this, I think we lost our producer. Like literally, as we're launching this. But that's okay, because while we might not have Sophie, what we do have is the news. Basically like 90 minutes of it actually. So we're gonna be starting off taking stock at the situation with COVID. You know how like they're rebooting everything, Brett?
Yeah.
I think they're gonna do another season of the pandemic actually. I think they're working on it.
Hold. But is there a dog in the studio?
There's two.
I rest my case. Continue.
Okay, well.
Busted. Which dogs are with you today in the studio so that the people
might
have a goal of dogs to see by the end of the show?
I've been telling you that I'm taking care of them.
Yes, I just mean like what dogs can you know, there was a time when you were at home and the dogs would make it into frame. Just because you're in the studio, the dogs can't make it into frame.
We'll work towards that during a social break or anything or something. But we do have Sophie back. Okay, good. So maybe we'll do that at some point. We'll do an appearance or something like that. But anyway, thank you everybody for being here. We got a lot of news that we got to get to through the course of this thing. We're gonna be starting off, as I said, with an update on COVID, then moving into a couple different related corruption cases having to do with both tax law as well as some of what's going to affect the infrastructure negotiations in the near future, and a lot of other news besides. And you're definitely gonna want to stick around for the rest of the end of the show, because we will be doing our garbage people of the week. I know some people have been having a little bit of problems getting the poll to load on the community page, but it should be available. Maybe try desktop. A lot of you have voted, and can't wait to see what the result of that is. With that, Brett, are you ready to do some news?
Let's tear into it.
Let's do it. Okay. Okay, everything seems to be going smoothly. Okay. Here in LA and unfortunately around the country, COVID is making a comeback, and the cases here have been pretty rough. When we as a county got rid of basically most of our lockdown, we didn't have to wear masks indoors and stuff like that, cases were down to about 150 per day. Well, in the most recent reporting, they're back up above 1500, increasing tenfold from just a month or so ago. The highest number seen since early March. Hospitalizations have also jumped up to 452, doubling since the reopening about a month ago. And thanks to this, the mask mandate is going to be resumed. So after a month off, which wasn't even long enough for me to stop wearing mine in places like the gym and everything, starting tomorrow night, Brett, the masks are coming back. And we know that the vast majority of all of you watching this don't live in LA. We're gonna broaden the scope in just a little bit, but the rise in COVID cases has not spared even where we're filming from. So Brett, what do you make of this?
This is why I never once wore a mask, and why I never, if there was a devaccination plan, I'd back that thing up. But no, this is what a lot of people were scared might happen in a very like, what seemed like an irrational fear way, that it would just somehow come back in that moment where we all had the feeling at the end of the movie where we were on the other side of it, and Jason in Friday the 13th was officially slain. And is it coming back for one last scare at the end of the movie to end the one-off? Or is this going to be like Friday the 13th, where every time we think they have come to a close on the franchise, it just keeps coming back with more and more horrifying sequels? Yeah. That similar to the arc of that, sometimes they'll come back with one that is compelling, but more often than not, they're just absolutely demoralizing. But the difference between this and a Friday the 13th movie is this one is very, very real and actually very, very deadly. But yeah, the campy jokes along the way are still happening nonstop from people at Fox News.
That's true. Yeah, it's like that point where you grab something off the desk and you hit the killer and it knocks him down. And rather than hitting him 40 or 50 more times, you just run away. Except in this analogy, you only hit him the one time because you've been convinced that hitting him more makes you sheeple or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we've left it out there to return. And so we're seeing that. That said, we do have the vaccine now. And so that you might think, well, I've been hearing about people who are still getting sick, even though they had the vaccine, they still got COVID. Okay, that is true and not a surprise because we've been making clear from the very beginning that it does not give you perfect immunity. But what it does do is make it far less likely for you to get it. And if you do, you're far less likely to get a serious case, which is being reflected even here in LA County. Yesterday, Michael Short tweeted, of the 398 COVID patients hospitalized in LA County, zero were vaccinated. Which means that yes, you can still get sick. That is totally true, but it is gonna lower your odds. And if you do get sick, you're unlikely to end up in the hospital or killed as a result of it. And this is reflective of what we saw, I believe in Maryland like a week ago. They had a good number of people who still died, unfortunately. And like more than 99, I think it was 99.7% weren't vaccinated. So the numbers are going back up. Some of those people getting COVID have been vaccinated, but you can still largely protect yourself if you get the shot and if you get both, if you haven't already.
Yeah. And the most frustrating thing, I'm gonna keep going with the metaphor for a bad horror movie, is it's so many parts of this are predictable and so many of them are infuriating. Like a lot of us looking at people who aren't vaccinated are basically the ones watching someone go into the dark basement and we're like, don't go in the basement. Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous there. Yeah. Everyone around you has told you if you go into the basement, it's going to be terrible. Yeah. And that's what's frustrating. And then the other part that's wildly predictable and sad is even though those stats are out there, you're gonna have people like Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham on their shows, you know, while they'll take very strong positions that if you question them, you get shot down as a naysayer and a fool, they'll ignore those very real facts that vaccinated people are not being hospitalized, not dying in relation to the number of people who are unvaccinated, who are suffering the same fate they've been suffering since the beginning of the pandemic before we had the vaccinations. They're going to say, I'm just asking questions. Is it bad to ask questions like something that I'm gonna ask, which is not really a question, but essentially rephrasing the statement, don't get vaccinated, let me pet your fragile ego that you don't like facts and this is a safe space for you to avoid them and still feel like you're scoring some huge rhetorical win because Tucker's speech and debate classes taught him exactly how to be wildly infuriating.
Yeah. And you know, people in the pre-show were requesting your Tucker Carlson impression. I feel like we got a little bit of it right there. Maybe we'll get some more later on actually. If there's another wave of COVID, what is it gonna look like? How bad could it get? The country obviously is different. You know, between 40 and 50% of the country is now fully vaccinated. A disproportionately higher amount of those who were older and most susceptible to severe cases of COVID as well as death are vaccinated at even higher rates. That said, national forecasts being published by the CDC imply that this could still be fairly devastating. They show that by August 7th, they predict, and it's a wide range, between 54,000 and 383,000 new COVID cases during the week ending August 7th. So look, they can't be particularly specific. That's a range of about six times from the low end to the high end, but that would be, you know, maybe 10,000 cases a day or less, all the way up to 60 or 70. And in a country that is more than 50% vaccinated at this point, that could be devastating. They're predicting, by the way, 800 to 3,900 new deaths will be reported on that same week, potentially getting us all the way up to 619,000 total deaths. And there's a big range because it's still partially within our control. We can change our behaviors. We can resume social distancing or wearing masks. People who between now and then might not be likely to get vaccinated could change that decision and could vaccinate. So we as a country get to decide how bad it's going to be. We could have had it be far better than even the best case scenario there being presumed by the CDC. We've chosen not to do that, regrettably, but we could make it better than the worst case scenario. And I hope that between now and then that might actually happen.
Yep.
Yeah,
I agree.
And by the way, in terms of, you know, like over the past couple of weeks, a lot of media has been talking about the Delta variant, and Fox and right wingers hate it. Like we talked about, Marjorie Greene literally tweeted, "Nobody cares about the Delta variant." So she doesn't want to talk about because she has a bad position on it. It's going to result in people dying and doesn't like that being pointed out. But when you talk about it, it turns out it can have a good result. According to the White House COVID-19 response coordinator, vaccination rates in the four states that have accounted for more than 40% of all the cases in the past week have been rising. Actually, five states. So Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Missouri, and Nevada have all had a higher rate of people getting vaccinated than the national average over the past week. And that is because the cases have been rising fastest in those states. The media is talking about it. People are being reminded of how serious this is. And so thankfully, vaccinations are going up too. Is that going to be enough? We'll have to see. I mean, in Florida, Florida's had 1 in 5 of all COVID cases in the country over the past week. So I really hope that they're vaccinating a lot of people.
But they're not. And in the meantime, I think you covered this. The governor is selling "Don't Fauci My Florida" merchandise. And yeah, you know what? Here's the takeaway for people observing politics and wondering, like, you know, what do I care about? What is the thing about politics? And one, and there's many themes and many things you should know about it. But one of them is frequently stuff like this happens where there's a stat out here, someone pulls it favorably. Some, there's a stat out there, people, you know, warp it and use a contradicting stat out of context. This happens all the time. But very infrequently does that really have any effect on people's actual lives, specifically the ones with strong opinions about it. But in this case, with people in COVID that get suckered into this weird partisan game when really it just needs to be about the science and the numbers. Rare, in one of those rare situations in a generally well-off country, it could be something about life and death. And there was someone who went on CNN to talk about how Fox's coverage, she watched Fox's coverage of COVID and her dad followed it and died.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the woman whose story was profiled actually at the DNC last year. And she doesn't want to see it happen to more families. On the pre-show, we were talking about a woman whose 13-year-old has been on a ventilator for 12 days. And she said, "I thought it was just like the flu. I didn't think it was serious." That's now. She just like 2 weeks ago thought it was still like the flu. You don't get that a year into a pandemic without a massive, powerful media machine going out of its way to manipulate people.
And Mike Gonzalez in the chat is saying sue Fox, but people have. People have sued Fox for their coverage, and their actual defense against the lawsuits, particularly the people when you think Fox, you go to, their defense is that it's entertainment, that it's not news in a court of law. And they're allowed to get away with it. You know, and there's warnings on all kinds of boxes that are like, don't put this poisonous, don't put this rat poison in your mouth. Like that'll is what it says on Ray. Don't spray bug spray up your nose and breathe deep. Something that should be pretty obvious. Caution, your coffee that is hot is hot. There's nothing on Fox News that says caution. We in a court of law say this is total bull crap. Maybe there should be. You know, well, the same way that on weekends when they run infomercials on these same networks, it's like, these do not represent the views of Fox News. Maybe they should have that before Tucker, where it's like, this is just a dramatization.
Yeah, instead, it's sort of implicit. He says, the NSA is trying to destroy my show. And the rest of Fox is like, anyway. So it clearly doesn't represent the rest of Fox. They just don't want to make that explicit. And how frustrating is it? So you referenced the court case where they point out he's just doing hyperbole and exaggeration for fun. So how many times do you think you've probably referenced that? Or made a reference to the fact that they did that about Tucker Carlson?
A lot, John. I only have like 4 bits.
No, that's true. I'm not criticizing you. I have 2. And it doesn't matter somehow. Like, their actual defense of him being you can't trust what he says hasn't hurt his ratings at all, as far as we can tell anyway.
Say it over and over again. That's the thing. Because if you turn on those very same shows, they say it over and over and over again, to the point where there is a story I saw recently covered by a local news outlet where they were having a school board meeting about, I don't even remember what it was, a school board meeting about something random. And the entire brigade of parents showed up shouting that they don't want critical race theory in that school. Mm-hmm. And the school board supervisor is like, we don't.
Yep.
I wasn't gonna talk about that. We were gonna talk about like lunches or something completely unrelated. Yep. And they showed up screaming. And when the people who are running the school board meeting are laughing, because they're like, this is wildly unprovoked. They say, yep. Oh, you're laughing because you think that America's a bad country? No. It's because the people on Fox Entertainment News go and repeat the same BS distractionary tactic, talking point culture war nonsense over and over again. So fight fire with fire, go, you know, open up a new front on, you know, try to flank him by just saying, hey, this in a court of law, it's entertainment. So I can't really engage with it because he said he's not telling the truth.
Well, let's go to the others that aren't telling the truth just briefly. One might hope as we gear up for another COVID wave that Fox would cool it a little bit on the trying to get people to not accept the one thing that could potentially save the lives of themselves and their family members. But unfortunately not. Over the past 2 weeks or so, and this is according to a study done by Media Matters, Fox News aired 129 segments about coronavirus vaccines. Of those, the majority, 57%, included claims that either undermined or downplayed the effort to get people to immunize themselves. 45% included claims suggesting that the vaccination drive is coercive or that it represents government overreach. 37% of segments included claims suggesting that vaccines are unnecessary or that they themselves might be dangerous. And Fox and Friends, which as we're filming this today, Ducey's getting a little bit of credit because he said it could save your life, which is good. They aired the most vaccine segments during that 2 week period, with more than half featuring claims undermining or downplaying the entire effort. But while they might have the most, it is universal. All of Fox's weekday evening opinion shows, Fox News, Primetime, Tucker Carlson, Hannity, The Ingram Angle, included claims that undermined or downplayed coronavirus vaccines in those segments. And that is, you cannot watch it without coming away with the idea that getting the vaccine makes you a sheep or could potentially kill you, or there's something questionable or something shady. Tucker Carlson doesn't have the conspiracy theorist balls to just say, don't take it, because he's worried. But he will spend months and months and months trying to convince you without saying it that you shouldn't take the vaccine. And he might be the worst. I think that he is the worst on there, but they're all basically doing at this point. The right wing media is not backing down as we potentially enter into another wave.
Yep, that is absolutely correct. And it's wildly frustrating. It's almost as bad as that visual that you gave me of Tucker Carlson not having any balls. It's just what? It's like a worn out bagpipe bag just sitting in the corner. Like you barely see any plaid. There's plaid on it, but there's like, it's mostly just like whatever tanned hide haggis.
Okay, I'm going to move on to this video because I can't take any more of this. I can't. Stop it. It's like a deflated football. Anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
It's like a parachute.
Stop it.
You know, when you were a kid and all the kids would hold the outside of the parachute and go like this? Exactly. And you're like, oh my God, there's so much fabric.
It's like you're fluffing the blanket.
Yeah.
And then you drop it and there's no bed. It just hits the ground.
Yeah.
Stop. Okay.
I'm going to try. Like strangely like a soccer goal. Netted. A lot of net. Sorry, Mama Misa, for what I did to you. John, can you move your screen? Weird, this isn't in the video. Can you move your computer to the right a little bit? It's most of the screen right now.
I already moved that more.
There we go.
Did it move back somehow?
There you go.
Anyway, really fast. How petty can the right's attempt to get people not to take the vaccine be? Well, I think we've reached peak petty. And I'm not going to play the video because nobody should have to watch OAN. But OAN had a segment accusing Olivia Rodrigo as being a quote celebrity Muppet pawn because she went to the White House and suggested that people get the vaccine. So this young celebrity who's probably like, I don't know, probably like overjoyed to go to the White House and meet the president and be part of trying to save people's lives. She's a celebrity Muppet pawn. Well, is she a puppet or is she a pawn? Because those are different things. Like choose a metaphor at this point, God.
I will never forgive Olivia Rodrigo for what she did. Here's the issue. Frequently, when someone goes out there and like, okay, let's back up to the Trump administration. When people went to visit or not visit Trump at the White House, personally, I was like, I don't care. When he gave people McDonald's, I thought that was kind of funny. But at the same time, he's doing terrible, terrible things. Now,
yeah.
But they got mad at folks for talking trash on sports teams for going to the White House when there was a very aggressively, obviously polemic, hateful attack on multiple fronts coming from the White House. Yeah. Olivia Rodrigo is like, don't get sick, get the vaccine. And it's never, you know, let's shut these countries down. It's never you have to get the vaccine. It's people generally suggesting that this vaccine, which even in a resurgence, if you are to get the disease again, when people are going to the hospital and dying, none of them that got sick and went to the hospital and died were vaccinated. I think Olivia Rodrigo is on some pretty solid ground. And the only person that is a celebrity wannabe puppet is literally everyone at OANN who just crawled out of the gutter of Fox News rejects and old timey normal news has-beens to find a camera with lights behind it that will point at them and are saying whatever it takes. And this is another theme that everyone needs to lock onto. The people at OANN, the guy who left who dodged out of the camera interview when Mike Lindell was talking about, hacked voter machines. And Tucker Carlson, the leader of all of them. That's why he's so successful at Fox News. That's why OANN is becoming so successful and why Newsmax and everybody else is chasing them. It's because everyone affiliated with them just wants to be on TV so bad and in many cases has lost their job in it before and never wants it to happen again. When Tucker Carlson was rightly upbraided and humiliated by Jon Stewart on Crossfire and it caused the death of his entire genre when he was done after MSNBC had it with him. He went back into his Osama bin Laden type cave with his plaid shirts and his pleated shorts and said never again. And like a terrorist, started plotting his revenge to ruin everything about news and America. And he is executing his news terrorism to this day and will continue to do it until someone gets better than him at it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. That was pretty good. Hey, look, Brett's doing the show again. Look how good it is when he's not trying to derail me.
But anyway, shout out to, yeah. Are you moving on?
No. But really fast, I want to, I want to show you a little bit of the video of her at the White House because she's probably done. She's about to be canceled for this because she's a celebrity Muppet pawn. She, like as you said, she's just trying to get people to not be sick. And how is she doing it? Like, I don't know. This is apparently the propaganda. You tell me how offensive this should be to the youth of America.
Thank you, Dr. Fauci, for all your hard work. We appreciate your intelligence, honest, bravery, compassion. We love you. Well, that's very nice to say that.
Do you know what Man Crush Monday means?
No idea.
Man Crush Monday is just like on Mondays, people will like post a picture of their boyfriends and they'll be like, oh, Man Crush Monday, this is why I love you. So it's a big compliment.
All right, well, whatever it takes. If Man Crush Monday makes you get vaccinated, go for it.
How dare she, Brett? And how dare he? Those two Muppet pawns. I mean, he kind of looks like he could be a Muppet actually a little bit, but yeah, they're just trying to get people to not be sick. They don't want people to be on ventilators and they don't want them to die. Okay, yeah. Let her do that. Let her have her little moment or whatever.
Yeah, and the big bit of bait they're trying to get everybody to bite onto is this idea that you need to back one person till the end of time in every single story and hate one person until the end of time in every single story. Like, Dr. Fauci's an immunologist. He's an expert immunologist. Am I going to wage a war on his behalf? Am I going to get a Fauci tattoo on my back? No, I'm just going to listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, but you wouldn't do that. Jordan might.
Yeah, Jordan, he'll, yeah, if you, Jordan, Fauci will be drinking the half pot tattoo that he got from Fortnite. That.
It's vaccine. Anyway.
But I do have Fauci out. I think. Never mind. I was going to call back to Tucker Carlson. Anyways, but that's the thing is, don't take the bait. That's what it is. That's what Tucker tried to do to Ken Klippenstein. He tried to say true. Ken Klippenstein by not saying that I, Tucker Carlson, am glorious, is in the back pocket of the NSA. That's just not true, and it can't be true. And it makes everybody who's watching your show, it loves you. It proves that as Tucker Carlson is talking to them like they're kids sitting around a campfire, he thinks that they're children. He thinks that they're stupid. And he's stupid.
I also agree. Maybe we'll return to that. Okay, we're going to go to the break before Sophie literally just cuts the stream. So apologies, the longest A block ever. Lots more news to come, maybe if there's time after this. Welcome back, everyone. Let's see. Before we jump back into things, I did want to let you know that, as always, you can expect that after the show is a lot of programming coming. Indisputable coming up right after the show today. Galaxy Brain, as we were talking about in the break, coming up right after that. And then the Young Turks Friday Power Panel. You got Anna and Jenk and Adrian in the first hour, Jenk, Jackson White, and Bridget Todd in the second hour. So a lot to come. And then, of course, Common Room. Friday is basically our biggest day. With that, Brett, you ready to jump back into things?
Sure. Why not?
Okay, let's do it.
And communism is a fail system, universally fail system. And I don't see socialism as a very useful substitute, but that's another story.
Okay, so that's a little tangent that Biden went on during a talk about Cuba and the possibility of aid, the possibility of the sanctions being removed, which so far he doesn't look to have any interest in whatsoever. But he decided that he would turn it into something that might, he thinks, benefit him, attacking communism, attacking socialism. And why not? I mean, after all, he gets attacked for being a socialist, for being a communist, being part of this far left radical movement. It's not true remotely, but he does get attacked that way. So he's like basically like putting out the football. Will attacking communism and socialism get the right to give him some credit? Have you been in this country long? Here's what Jesse Waters had to say.
No professor in the country can say that. So I give him kudos for that, but he doesn't act like it's a failed system because he keeps trying to take our guns, our health care, and our freedom of speech. So give him a C minus on that.
He gave you health care, but
Not the Obama administration.
No.
You can afford
he took it away
healthcare.
From a lot of people, and now he's trying to take over the private system with the public option.
20 million.
I don't want government health care, okay?
You can afford not to.
No one else wants government health care.
Yeah, a lot of millions want it.
Yeah, but
no one wants government health care. It's terrible. Everybody knows it. So, also, I was surprised that we were able to.
That's a great show. I'm glad that is so popular.
He just did a Trump impression. Mm-hmm. And that is another key theme to be on the lookout for. This is how fascism, period. What you do at the top, and you see it bubble out. And every time a country has devolved into fascism or any ism for that matter in its in its rawest form, is that you have some weird, crazy dynamic. Charismatic psychopath in charge. And they say weird, crazy, charismatic, psychopathic things. And it emboldens weak people susceptible, to the Jedi mind trick to just repeat them whenever they get in a position where they feel like they're losing. They're like, no. And it's the same with religion, to be honest. Like, you invoke this larger power that gives you power. And it's like a shot of adrenaline. And that's exactly what happened to the cornered Jesse Waters, who is wrong. Wildly, wildly wrong. It is very popular. That's one aspect of what I have to say. I don't know. I kind of interrupted your point.
No, that's totally okay. And that's a very important part of it. I liked your point. Yeah. You see it start to filter down and it empowers people. It empowers the random people we see in videos every day, feeling like, oh, you're filming me? You think I'm not gonna be racist just because you're filming me? Like, everyone I look up to is crazy racist. Why wouldn't I? It empowers them and empowers people like this. Now, some of them might be a little bit more sophisticated in it. Like Tucker Carlson, I think, has felt emboldened to double down on xenophobia, white nationalism, and all of that. Jesse Waters is one of the dimmer, weaker ones, so his is a little bit more ham-fisted. But I think you're totally right, he's just doing that. And by the way, like, it's this weird form of strength that only the right thinks is strength. When a woman is making a factual point to you and you just refuse to look at her and just try to talk over her, like she's talking right here and you won't look her in the eye, they see that as strength. I cannot help but see that as incredible weakness, an inability to even look the person in the eye that is making a point that you can't rebut, so you just talk over her. And he'll say that he was joking or whatever. Yeah, it's funny, unfactual, or like, I don't know, the whole thing just reeks of weakness to me, but I think you're totally right. The other point I want to make though is, like, how does Biden not get that this is going to happen? Like, continue the Trump border policies. They say that you've given them open borders, like it doesn't matter. Attack communism, attack socialism, they'll just say, no, you're still doing it. Like later that night, and thanks to Nikki Ramirez for posting this, Laura Ingraham had the meet President Bernie Biden thing where she melded their face. And Ben Shapiro this morning said that it's just Bernie Sanders, like he ripped Biden's face off and now he's wearing it.
Yeah.
Like, which is not just insane. It also, like, how do you not understand the actual political dynamics of the Democratic Party? And you can say, I'm scared that the leftists will take over, but to say that they already have is just so unfactual. It's not reflective of what we're actually seeing. And they're being stupid, it's grift. Biden continually doing it, like reaching out to the Republicans in the Senate, reaching out rhetorically to the right, he's never gonna get an inch for, but he keeps on doing it.
Yeah, it's very true. Support for government-backed healthcare, Medicare for all, wildly popular.
You wanna see a poll?
Yes.
Okay, so the KFF had a 53% support for Medicare for all in October 2020. You can see here, this is a breakdown where you can see it across different parties, but support for government involvement in the insurance industry increased 4 points from 2019 to 2020, 6 points for just a single national government program in that time period. People who believe that the government shouldn't be involved in healthcare is at 6%. Okay, and that's not going up there too. Even some Republicans, like 34% of Republicans want the government involved. 15% just want a single payer healthcare. And it's obviously incredibly popular amongst Democrats and independents. This is up to 2020. Like, maybe the experience of COVID has killed people's interest in it. I kind of feel like it's going to be the opposite. But why actually respond to those points? Why try to make a case when you can just say it's not popular? I, a millionaire, don't want it, so clearly nobody does.
The idea that he is a millionaire runs counter to the idea that one earns money through their value, the ability, their ability to contribute to society. That is BS. The idea that people in America, that socialism is evil, people respond, a lot of people have been trained to respond negatively to the concept of socialism. But when you try to remove what are, I hate to break it to you, D-bag, socialist programs from America, people will fight tooth and nail. That's why they call Social Security the third rail. If you want to get rid of socialism, get rid of Social Security. Get rid of roads, get rid of bridges, get rid of anything that your tax dollars go to pay, because that's socialism, buddy. You want to get rid of the police? You want to get rid, and that's it. Jesse Waters wants to get rid of the police. What he said, get rid of socialist programs, get rid of anything that the government provides to people for their benefit and their social security, socially or security wise. Jesse Waters on Fox News just argued to abolish the police, abolish the fire department, abolish the military. That's what he's saying when he says he doesn't want socialist programs. He wants to get rid of Social Security. All those people who are watching Fox News, and that's why everything is a Medicare program and medical device commercial and some kind of pharmaceutical program. Dude, he wants to get rid of your Medicare, which is a socialist program. So Jesse Waters wants to take away everything that I would argue makes America great, and that his entire network argues makes America great on a daily basis. Jesse Waters is a nonsense, stupid person for that exact reason, because he doesn't realize when he's making an argument that's counter to every other argument he makes on a daily basis.
Yeah. I hope that I didn't preempt your garbage person, because it sounded like you were nominating.
No, you didn't. You didn't. And the other thing is, if you want to defend, no one should be defending private healthcare, period. Because in America, and you say this to everybody who comes up to you and is like, I love the private healthcare system. In America, we pay. So all you financial wizards out there, tell me if this makes sense to you. In America, we pay twice as much per person for healthcare. And we die sooner than people who get it for half freaking price, because they have that system of Medicare for everybody. Not only that, but they allow the government to collectively negotiate down drug prices as a whole, like freaking Costco buyers or Trader Joe's booze purchasers, at a giant scale, which should fit with your economic models, you doinks. But no, all of this, all this stuff that Tucker's like, I'm just asking questions. How do I get to the bottom of it? Where do we find out the answers? Answer me this. How much does your healthcare provider pay for medication? They don't tell you. You don't know. Mm-hmm. And how much does each line item cost? And how do you compare that to what it costs in other countries that are paying half as much? They won't tell you. It's all opaque. And is it opaque because the government? No. It's opaque because the private corporations that have a stranglehold on every aspect of it. That's the problem. That they won't tell you is a problem, much less answer it.
Brent, I just saw a super chat come in that you're gonna like. So okay. You know what, why don't we go to the break and read it? We got a couple more stories, a little bit of corruption for you coming up after this. Anyway, with that, why don't we jump back into, I think we can fit these last two stories in what remains. Joe Manchin is not having some of what's likely to be a part of the reconciliation infrastructure bill, but why? Why is he against the climate being a focus of it? Is it just ideology? Well, let's delve into it and see if we can find out what might be driving this man. He said on Wednesday, after Biden met with Senate Democrats, I know they have the climate portion in here and I'm concerned about that. Just like the whole climate portion, he's concerned. He says, because if they're eliminating fossils, and I'm finding out there's a lot of language in places they're eliminating fossils, which is very, very disturbing. Because if you're sticking your head in the sand and saying that fossil fuel has to be eliminated in America, and they want to get rid of it, and thinking that's going to clean up the global climate, it won't clean it up all. If anything, it would be worse. That's an interesting point. We'll return to that. But what he's referencing is that in the draft version of the reconciliation bill, Democrats want to meet Biden's climate change goals of 80% clean electricity and 50% economy-wide carbon emissions by 2030, as well as a number of other elements. So that to him is a deal breaker. That is putting your head in the sand, not ignoring climate change for some reason. And also getting to clean energy would make the global climate worse somehow. Okay, well, we're gonna get into what might really be influencing, but first, that's a couple of interesting claims, Brett. What do you think about it?
I mean, he makes money off of that all kinds of ways to the end of time. Like everything about the fossil fuel supply chain, he makes money off of, whether it's personally or for his political survival. Period. Like that's it. End of sentence. And what's funny is everything about publicly financing some kind of green initiative will create jobs and create a system that folks will fight for just as hard as he's fighting for, but surrounding sustainable energy that will make us energy independent like he wants for years and years to come, a new generation. But he doesn't want that, which is a very conservative position to have. And rather than fighting for ways to accommodate all of this, he's fighting against it. Rather than fighting for something that will secure his people in the future and in the meantime as they transition to a more sustainable future, he's just doing the thing he does all the time, which is, you know, rely on this image as a folksy, big-handed, you know, coal miner while owning the coal company.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so why don't we turn to that then?
And sending people into the mines.
Exactly, not him, notably. So of course he gets donations from Exxon and all that. Maybe we'll show a little bit of that video that Greenpeace was able to find. But it's actually worse than that, because while we, I think, have been very clear in saying that if you get paid by these companies to have the government protect them, that seems kind of like a bribe. What if it wasn't just going to your campaign? That's sort of walled off. You can't like just spend that money freely. What if you're just being given the money? Like it's actually yours. Well, Manchin earns hundreds of thousands of dollars each year through coal sales to power plants and supply Edison Electric Institute member companies. His family company, Enter Systems, is a contractor and they sell coal. In his most recent financial disclosure, he reports that his non-public shares of Enter Systems are worth between $1 million and $5 million and sent him an income of $492,000. His total income from the company since he became a senator is more than $4.5 million. And we can and have conversations about whether $20,000 in campaign checks or $100,000 or $1 million over a few decades is enough to influence someone, to corrupt them. Why don't we have a conversation about whether $4.5 million that goes straight to you that you can spend on literally anything you want, if that's enough to change someone's mind, to cause them to grind the Senate to a halt, to stop a country from dealing with climate change? I don't think that seems crazy. I don't think that seems too conspiratorial.
No. It's a combination of him flexing his political capital, benefiting off of his monetary capital. That's it. Mm-hmm. And he never burns through his political capital, because every time he does this, he like helps himself in front. It's tough because he, a lot of the time with Manchin, he ends up voting along with Democrats, except in this. And when it comes to the filibuster, abolishing the filibuster, he says he wants to protect the sanctity of the filibuster because it's an institution that protects Democrats. And I think there's a lot more credit that a relative of that argument deserves in politics, as gerrymandering is related to it, because it's just difficult for Democrats, specifically just Democrats, to get a majority despite having the majority of votes go their way if everyone is allowed to vote. But it's very frustrating when this guy Joe Manchin goes out there and pretends that he's making that kind of an argument when he's not. Mm-hmm. He's just saying, listen, I want everything to stay exactly the way it is for me right now, because right now, until the end of my literal life, I will benefit from it by having power to not only stay in office, but also keep things the way they are, so I personally and my family personally benefits from it,
yeah,
while secretly catering to big moneyed interests that finance his campaign. Like yeah, that, and yeah, I know. And they bragged about it. We have the audio. We know what it sounds like. We know what it looks like when that happens. They say we exactly own the guy and he's in our pocket.
Yeah, now he's even getting money from Fox Corp. Yeah. $1,500 from the PAC that represents Rupert Murdoch and his son. Isn't it amazing? Not surprising, but amazing. Yeah, he look, I thought he would get donations. Someday he would be put onto a board of like a coal company or something like that. The idea that he's making $500,000 a year. Like, I get it. I'm crazy. I don't know how things work. But I personally think, how is that legal? Like, you're clearly being influenced by the money. I know we've just allowed it. We think it's okay. I personally don't think it should be acceptable. I would boot him out of the caucus over this clear conflict of interest during a time when they can potentially pass one of the most important pieces of legislation in our entire lives.
Your benefits package. Anyway, is this a crazy idea that your benefits package? Your benefits package, as you are, you know, in office, should be like you should have some kind of financial situation that only benefits if the whole of society benefits, not just some kind of stock blind stock package, but also some kind of, it goes into a savings account that's pegged to the ways that people, you know, make money. Should it be tied to the median income? I don't know.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought up stock, because we've been talking about that, about how it. We need to have a conversation to convince people that them being able to own stock that they can influence is crazy. But this is, I think, way worse than that. Because at least with that, they have to do something that then affects an industry that might affect a particular company whose stock price would then go up that they'd have to sell. This is just the guy won't let them ban coal because he sells it and makes money directly from that. How is that acceptable? That's insane that we allow that to continue.
And honestly, that's the kind of thing that if you, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people that believe that. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of people in all kinds of nefarious and you know, magnanimous ways are trying to court that voting block.
Yeah.
And doing really sketchy or smart, I don't know which, things to get it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, right now he's effectively the president. Anyway, okay, we've only got like a minute and a half until the end of the block. No time to do another story. So let's see what's going on out there in the audience before we take the break at the end of the hour. Tiffany Black says, today's the day. Hi, John. Glad I checked and didn't spell your name like on Garfield. Hi, Brett. Thank you for helping me survive the years of, I can't say that on air, but it's not good years. You both, but seriously, John, where did you get that shirt? Well, it's funny that you ask, actually, because it is Vaxxed Human Summer, and you can now get this at ShopTYT. So fun, cool design, colorful, shows people that you accept science and don't want to kill people. So that's cool.
After you told Jordan that you wanted to play Fortnite and then didn't, we played with Hot Girl Summer skins on the on Fortnite, and it was really fun.
There are Hot Girl Summer skins. Well,
they're not
Fortnite.
Actually that, but we picked up the most Hot Girl Summer skins, and we did a bunch of dance moves, and they got this mini game where you can go into a spaceship and get gold weapons.
I've done that with you. It was fun. Anyway, I didn't say I could play last night, but hopefully soon, maybe this weekend a little bit or something.
Great.
Okay, we only have 30 seconds. Riley Jones says, Clone Wars and Rebels are epic. You can watch three at a time, and the arcs are like a movie, an OG movie, not prequel. By the way, I love Last Jedi too, so we're on the same page. Thank you, Riley Jones. I need the support in this particular area. I'm fine being alone in the politics, but in Last Jedi, I need you with me. Anyway, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you to our linear audience for sticking with us. We've still got more news coming, including the reveal of the garbage people of the week. That's coming up online after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.